And with just 2 weeks to go, the talk on the campaign trail, well, claims of rigged polls from Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton embracing the nasty woman title is telling other nasty women to go out and vote early. But in Iraq, a U.S.-led coalition continues to pound ISIS targets near Mosul. An American soldier was killed by a roadside bomb near there last week. And that's just one of the foreign policy challenges the next president will inherit. Why is no one talking about that? Well, members of the remarkably bipartisan foreign policy establishment are trying to anticipate policy regardless of who wins. Organizations like the Brookings Institution, the Atlantic Council, the Center for American Progress are all soon releasing reports on future foreign policy. Reporter Greg Jaffe has some insight into what they'll say. And the headline? They are excited about the hawk candidate, and that's not Donald Trump. Greg Jaffe covers the White House for The Washington Post. He's in their studios. He joins us now. And Greg, what they're telling you also reflects what they've been thinking about the Obama administration. Flesh that out.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's remarkable is that there's a real sort of bipartisan consensus at this moment, and it's focused very much on the Middle East. And I think it's a feeling that the Obama administration has sort of retrenched from the Middle East or pulled back. So there's a bipartisan consensus for a more activist American role there. And in some cases, that means more of a military role, I think.
Well, and of course, President Obama has said that it's a slippery slope, that, for instance, combat troops on the ground in Syria as opposed to strategic airstrikes backing the opposition, you know, will put American troops in danger and runs against what the public seems to want. But what are these foreign policy experts hearing from the candidates that, according to your writing, at least in one case, are seeming alike?
I don't think they're hearing much from the Trump campaign. I think they've largely written that off. And that was one thing that was sort of surprising to me. It's one part of Washington that's not obsessed with Donald Trump at the moment. But they're very much sort of in tune with the Clinton campaign. And I think they are hearing an appetite there, both in Secretary Clinton's public statements and then among her advisors for you know, some kind of more activist role. And I think that means confronting Assad and the Russians in a more aggressive way than the Obama administration has been willing to do, which is a really tricky thing and might be harder to do in practice than it is in theory.
Well, in fact, in some of the leaked emails from WikiLeaks, she has said that.
Yeah, no, she's talked about it. She's both talked about it in private and in public. She's been pretty consistent on it. You know, you talk to the Obama administration folks and they will warn that it's a lot harder when you really have to seriously look at the options, you know, some of them being cruise missile strikes to sort of punish the Assad regime for what they're doing in Aleppo, the sort of indiscriminate bombing there. It's really hard to do that without killing Russians, and that puts you in a pickle.
Well, in a pickle, more than a pickle. I mean, this is something that you hear anecdotally. I'm sure you do too, but we do, covering the campaign, that Democrats who hesitate about Hillary Clinton, many do in large part because they think she is too hawkish. They worry that she will pull the U.S. into confrontations with countries like Russia.
That's very much true. What's interesting to me about the foreign policy establishment here in Washington is that that's not really a concern. You know, even the Center for American Progress, which you mentioned, is very much of a sort of a liberal left of center think tank. And they were among those who recently released a study last week calling for no-fly zones in Syria, which is a really significant escalation military-wise.
Well, and explain to people, no-fly zone meaning?
You know, it's a really good question because I don't think anyone's defined it. And that's where it gets to be difficult when you have to start to define it. I mean, essentially, I think it means that over certain parts of northwestern Syria, you know, in and around Aleppo, that you'll say that Russian and Syrian planes can't fly. The argument being that those planes, which are committing indiscriminate bombings, are killing most of the civilians. So you say, you know, we will essentially agree that, you know, no planes will fly in this area. And if they do, you know, the U.S. Air Force will shoot them down. But it's a really risky bluff, maybe. And secondly, even putting that no-fly zone in place requires taking out Syrian and Russian air defenses, which means bombing those targets.
Are you hearing from these foreign policy experts what we're seeing in some other analysis, that this may be the worst time for U.S.-Russian relations in recent memory, you know, going back to the Reagan era, and concern that because of this campaign, because, again, Donald Trump has seemed to take the side of Vladimir Putin, which has forced Hillary Clinton to take a side against him, that's ratcheted it up even more?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of what's happening. I think the other thing that's happening is that, you know, President Obama throughout the last 8 years, particularly the last 4 years, I think has been very cautious about sort of overreach and very cognizant of sort of the limits of American power. And so I think Clinton and the foreign policy establishment sort of believes – it's hard to say they believe more strongly in American power, but I guess that's what I'm saying. They believe that a stronger and more activist America can change Putin's calculations. And I think the Obama administration is skeptical of those kinds of bluffs that can lead down passive confrontation. So I think some of it is the fact there's a feeling that the Obama administration hasn't been confrontational enough with Putin and that they'd like to see a correction. So in some ways, it's more of a reaction to, I think, the last 4 years than what's happening on the campaign trail, which is interesting to me.
Greg Jaffe, who covers the White House for The Washington Post. Greg, thank you.
Sure, no problem. Thanks for having me.